Okay, Chaim, dear, it might be kedai to stay on mute until such time as you need to say something. That way, we don't get, you know, the sound of silverware in the background or little boys or whatever.
I only got his voicemail, Rebbe.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Okay, we're live now, so we're gonna start on Perakei Bezrat Hashem of Nehemiah. And, of course, we have some very strange things because, I mean, even on, I think the simplest question is the reason that this appears here, Bichlal. In terms of his overall work, what it is that he sets himself out to do, which is Bikar, the description of how it is that he handles the Chomot Yerushalayim and how he handles the enemies misaviv. And then we go back to many of the lists that we had in Ezra and so on, just to integrate the Mikdash and the Medina. So that in that sense, we don't really quite understand what this is doing here in such a sudden transition. Like we just heard about Ishil Choramayim, and now we're talking about Vatitzik Tzakat Ha'am. And what makes it even more of a problem is that this becomes the Nakuda, as many of you pointed out, of the Hefzed of Nehemiah, of his name on the Sefer. And yet the description that he gives, and there were two shittas in the Gemara Sanhedrin that discussed the loss of the name. Oh, shoot. So one of those shittot were that he seems to be putting down the pachim that were before him, even to the extent of putting down Daniel. Obviously, we're not singling him out, but we know that Daniel himself was a pacha, and he makes himself out as having been better to the Am than Daniel was, or from the fact that he said, Zachrali, Elohai letova kol asher asiti ala amazah. So it would be nice for us to understand this as being part of, and I see that Reb Danny took it that way, that this is all part of the message that he's giving to the Pachim and to the Sarim about look how it is that I handled and look how much I gave up, which would tie into what he said to them. You know, you're not the only ones that are going to lose a lot of money on canceling these loans. I also have a lot of money out there that I put out. You know, I'm not going to be getting it back either. So let's do this together, which I think is the nicest way to understand the pasuk later on. And this could be part of that. The only problem is, of course, that since he mentions here the entire tkufa of his being there, because he traces it in pasuk yudalit, from Mishnat Esrim Va'at Shnat Shloshim V'Shtayim La'Tachshas Tahamelech Shanim Shtem Esrei, it's clear that he's also talking about something from the point of view of the future, not speaking to them then. In which case, in a way, this should have been the sum up of his work, which it isn't. So it seems to be just an insertion of what happens later on his vision of the entire idea. And he's putting it in here because, again, I'm saying it, I'll be the Pashtut, what someone would think is that since here is where he was dealing with his own monetary difficulties and his own investment of his funds into this project, so Mimela, he just happens to throw in as an afterthought where he's looking back and he's re-editing the Sefer and he's putting it in at the end that, okay, so, you know, this was a pretty hot thing and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember me and so on. For that, obviously, he doesn't need to mention the pachim that were there, the pachot that were there for before him. I mean, that would be gratuitous. Unless he were talking to the people, but then how do we explain the insertion of the years later on without there being any indication that these are two different issues? So, I mean, one of the things that is very striking is the way in which he tells the Sarim, and obviously it's sort of an introduction, we'll go into the psukim immediately afterwards. But the way that he tells the Sarim that the Hanhaga here that's required is specifically Yirat Eloheinu Telechu Mecharpat Habuyim Oyveinu. Now, however we learn that, we'll see there's many different ways of understanding it, but however we learn that, once again, his making an appeal to the issue of Charpat HaGoyim is very striking. I mean, the Charpat HaGoyim is what brought him down there in the first place. It's the words that he even used to Artaxerxes. It's the central theme of his tefillah. It's his understanding of the nature of the psychological warfare against Israel. It was always about Charpa and Bisayon and so on. For him to throw that in over here is very striking. Now, if you put that together with the fact that the way many of the Rishonim learn the Kriya to the Kohanim afterwards, and it's very difficult to believe that he called the Kohanim because the Kohanim themselves had, you know, the way some of the Rishonim learn, the Kohanim themselves had debts, and he wanted them also to be mevater on the debts. And certainly more mashma, like those who learn that the kriya to the Kohanim was specifically in terms of the shvua that he wanted to assert over them. Now that shvua, of course, comes directly after his little, you know, demonstration of being menayer his begadim in order to show what's going to happen to people who don't keep this. And it's basically a shvuata Allah, because he says beferish, anybody who doesn't go along with this should be neor vereik, should be just torn apart and just flung to pieces and empty. And that's very, very much an Allah, not just a shvua. So the application of the Kohen over here brings to mind the obvious comparison to the shvuas Allah of a sota. But the reason that that's significant is because remember that the way we've been understanding the entire mission of Nehemiah is the creation of the Machane. The moment that we have the creation of the Machane, we have the din of sota. And of course, not only the din of sota, but for the first time, the sense that Yichus is important, which is all of a sudden the issue over here in which the people are saying, according to Rashi, where we are just as miyuchas as anybody else. All of a sudden, there's a sense of Gezel Hager, in which the Am as a whole has to take into consideration the Matzav of the Ger, the special new idea that it's possible to be Magzir even where there's a din of shvua that is possible to look at Bezdin or look at the Am as a whole as relating to the existence of Gerim. Is it possible that that has something to do with his making the su'udot for those who came to be Mizgayer, according to the way many understand the pasuk? Is it not an obvious extension of the din of Machaneh that all of the pekida that takes place afterwards, which centered around Yichus and the Yud and the Hey, which is Saviv L'Shmotam, which appears specifically after those in Yonim in Nosei, as part of the din of Shiruach Men HaMachaneh, part of the sudden new halacha that even intimate relationships are everybody's business, and are the Kohanim's business, and are the Mishkan's business, and that's what it is like living in that Machaneh. Is it possible that the din of the Charpat HaGoyim that he now wants to lift up to a new madrega, whereas up until now Charpat HaGoyim sounded very much just like it was something very painful. Charpat HaGoyim sounded like it was an instrument of war, a way of keeping us down, not something that was fundamental in his underlying quest for the establishment of a real Am Hashem, where we translate the Ritzoneinu Lasot Ritzoncha, as he mentions in his opening tefillah, to a real presence of the Shekhinah. Now, if we take this as the next step, in other words, in the same way that we understood that his creation of a Tzava and a tzava that would be built on mishpachotehem, and that all of this is a gradual change in the perception of Yisrael, as we understood before. And this is the reason that all of those Yehudim that had gone over and had made themselves so loyal to the goyim that were around them, all of a sudden became a fifth column, and that itself was considered to be a tremendous giluy. And in the change that we perceive immediately afterwards, in the coming parak, of the way that now the entire strategy of those who were previously their enemies is to pretend now to a new appreciation and respect for the very ones that they were laughing at just a couple of parakim before. So is it not possible that this itself, in his mind, is the kiyum of the v'niflinu ani ve'amcha in terms of kol mishpachot ha'adama? In other words, being as Moshe Rabbeinu has defined this as the essence of the hashros hashchina in machane Yisrael. So that his appeal is not just some silly appeal, you know, you don't want to look bad in the enei ha'goyim, in their big mezalzo, in the way that you guys act towards each other. It's very much part of the idea of mizot olam en ha'midbar. The mizot olam en ha'midbar that includes the whole concept of yichus, includes the whole concept of machane, and of the interrelationship of one to another, which is built specifically through machane and through yichus. And it would be a shock if the sudden awareness of people who had kept their mouths shut until now, and the truth is that that's probably the reason, you know, all the Rishonim talk about how is it that Ezra wasn't misacting this, you know, like, what's the pshat? Wasn't this a problem before? And all of a sudden, the time comes along, isn't this a taina on Ezra? Why didn't he do anything about it? You know, it's just the whole discussion of the Malbim that Ezra only had the rights to be dealing, either the rights or that they had different jobs, and Ezra's job was taking care of the Avodas HaKodesh, and Nehemiah was basically the social worker. I mean, you know, whatever. The bottom line is, the mashma'ut is that there was never a tzakat ha'am. In other words, the vatihi tzakat ha'am is only after you reach a certain stage in which you feel that you deserve to be tzo'ek. And it's very much, I see that Moshe pointed out, that why are we mentioning the Nishayim? And the remarkable thing is that the mice in the Gemara, where you have the women coming in and yelling, you know, about a psak halach, or, you know, or something that had to do with losing a case. It's always an access to yichus, you know? They start shouting, this is the way you treat a woman who comes from, and so on. And this idea, all of a sudden, in their own minds, would represent the opposite of the problems that up until now were the Cherpa Shebagoyim. Because they've now come into themselves. And it's in the same way that the people outside of the city are now willing to become spies for those who are being Meiser Nefesh in the building. The ones inside were so rebuilt by this Aveda that they were doing. And it was for them that he had this special concern. Because he mentions himself that the reason I couldn't bring myself to collect any taxes or to try to support myself from the lechem of the pachot is because these people are working so hard. The Aveda is so difficult for them. This he says all the way at the end of the prayer. So by the same token, what he has achieved so far is exactly the change in identity and awareness of the value of oneself that he had set out to achieve in the first place. And it's only because of that that they themselves are the one who are tzayek, which is also the same getter as in Mitzrayim. I think Moshe pointed that too, that this is that Vayishma Hashem et Zakatam, the Na'akat B'nei Yisrael, is only Ola at a certain point where you begin to feel that this can't go on and that I'm not ready to accept this. I suspect that that's even part of the issue of Amram, because we find in the Gemara exactly the same Maisa. You know, the Gemara says, we should be Gozran B'nai Yisrael, that they shouldn't have children, you know, but what can you do? Ain Gozran Alatzibur, if it's a gzera that they're not going to, then Rov Atzibur Le'ochol Amai, but I understand, I mean, it seemed we had finished with that problem a long time before. That was a machlokas between Amram and Miriam. We're bringing it up again, thousands of years later, and the Gemara says it's only because Ein Gozran Gzera Latzibur, not because it's the wrong thing to do. But I think that's the point, that very much like the Tevila Vosnil Ben Gnaz, you know, that you have to reach a point where I'm not willing to put up with this. This simply can't go on. And it's only then that it's possible for you to call in the Pachod and to demand of them something that maybe in the Ikra did you have absolutely no right to demand. Not only that, but the way that he creates the pressure on these Pachod, at least the way many of the Rishonim understand the Pasuk, is by setting up near riots of public dissension in which everybody's gathering around and screaming boo to the nobles and so on. You know, so that the whole idea should be coming from Mitoch Ha'am, and he's behind it, also indicates that what we're looking at is much more of a public type of backlash with a new level of awareness that cannot be stopped. You find this is the same thing that basically freed the blacks in America, that led to the downfall of apartheid in South Africa. It's people get to a point where they feel that they have more rights to be themselves, and that it becomes much more than political, and it can't be kept down. If that's the case, then the fact that he wanted the people to create a demonstration, to be makil, the people around, which is a simple mashmaot of the pasuk later, would mean that this is a very, again, profoundly planned strategy, and it's precisely the next stage of his own understanding of what needed to be achieved. And if that's the case, then we could understand the closing pasuk of, you know, Zochreni Elohai, that could mean that there are doubts here in his mind. And there's a heck of a lot of people that don't like him, you know. So he's saying, listen, you know, at least the Ribbono Shel Olam should be Zochreni Letova. I mean, I twisted everybody's arms and maybe went a little bit further than was correct to go. Because, I mean, Meikra, then why would they have to be Mavater on all of their loans? Even if they need to give back a mashkin, they don't need to say, we'll never collect it. They can forget about it and everybody should feel good. I mean, it's like going overboard a little bit. But the idea of Ratzui L'Rov Echav, maybe he didn't even have a Ratzui L'Rov Echav. You know, but you see that was necessary at the end of the Megillah. It may well be that over here, this is his bakasha for, well, at least somebody should remember me well. He must have had an awful lot of unhappy people around him. Okay, but in any event, if it's true that what we're talking about is a rebuilding of the godless of Yisrael, then this would also explain another amazing thing. Because the crazy medrash, which is the only medrash on this entire parak, this whole area, the crazy medrash that Rabbeinu quoted and actually put into our shared site, would then suddenly make perfectly good sense. Because if the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says of what I want from all the korbanos is simply bishvil hareach shetiyu arevim v'nochim, and that would mean that it was clear that, look, here's Nehemiah talking about all of these amazing dishes. He's got these chefs that are preparing these incredibly expensive animals, the best beef, the best lamb, you know. And in the middle of all of this delicious stuff, he mentions, yeah, but you know, the pigeons they made for me. It's very strange. That's the only thing that he says was for him when he talks about this whole thing. So then basically what he's saying is that, look, the Berot v'tziporim nasu li, you know, all of these other things, the shor, the tzom, all of those things, I didn't eat any of that. So what indeed was the point? That's the Medrash saying. Or Shlomo HaMelech, he never showed up at any of these women. You know, what was the chances of his happening to show up if he made these kind of sudas every day, right? So the idea, therefore, is that what we're looking for is the chashivas. Now, if that's the idea, then it fits directly into everything that is, let me invite the non-Jews, and let me show them what the su'uda of a pachot is, who is not only not ahead of this, but who barely participates, takes a piece of chicken when everybody else is eating all of this stuff. This is a malchus. So what is it for? It's to be malotchem like a reach michoach. That's exactly what it is. It doesn't serve any purpose in terms of the food. It's godless as in terms of its achievement. So that would tie in exactly with his appeal that we cannot allow anything that would put the Cherpat HaGoyim still into business. It has to be that we've achieved something that now takes us to a completely different level. Nobody suspected at the beginning, I mean, for him to have understood all this at the beginning, nobody suspected that the creation of the wall around Yerushalayim was going to have to lead to a complete economic restructuring of the Yom. Who would have thought such a thing? He kept pretending it was only in terms of the fear and the openness to attack and the way we're looked down upon and so on. But when you watch what he does with it and how he takes advantage of it and how he's got everybody feeling different about themselves, in which up until now, they were literally preyed upon. I mean, the dik in the pasuk that the girls were being actually abused, you know, with the kvushim. I mean, that's unbelievable. And people were just getting away with this, which is the natural thing that happens when people are looked down upon and they become objects, you know. And he's setting out the davka to speak about that separately, as will be medayik in the pasuk in Yerushalayim. This becomes an amazing, amazing additional awesome insight into how grand the planning and the vision of this man were. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So that in that context specifically, that it should be the mokum in which he loses his sheva on the sefer, I mean, just speaks volumes, and we need to try to understand when we get to there what it is specifically that led Dafka over here to these kind of tainus and to this kind of loss. So I don't know how much time maybe we should just leave this as an introduction, and then because we don't have really time, it's only 2 more minutes to Meyer. But I think it would be a great, it's beautiful. Did you see that? Everybody saw that quote on the, A man can't ride your back unless it's bent. Yeah, it's great. It's just great. There's so much for the cherpa and the rebuilding out of the cherpa, which he literally tells us up front. This is my concern. So read my lips. If you had understood what he was out to do, and you were a rich guy, you probably would have moved to another country when the Nehemiah came calling, because things were going to be into big changes. So these things appealed not only to the ones outside, but to the ones inside, and completely changed the vision of what Yisrael was within and without. So, Emir Tzashem, next, taking this into consideration, I'm sure we can get some more he'arot, wonderful he'arot, and move on for the first part of the Perek Emir Tzashem next week. And I really thank you all so much, because all of your ha'aras, as you could see, were central to the overall sense of what is going on here. So I'm very, very grateful to you and beg of you to please continue your chasadim ha'gedolim with me. And those of you who haven't had an opportunity to share, please start now. So good evening, everybody. Thank you so much. I love you all so much, and I'm so glad to see you. Totally.